Thank you for joining us today for Bryant's Faculty Spotlight. We're your hosts, the Krupp Library. And during this podcast, we're going to take you into the minds of Bryant University's faculty, where we'll talk about their innovative projects, successes, and the challenges they've met. Today for our podcast, we are talking to Professor New. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Great. And you are in the mathematics department. First, if you could just give us an overview of your background and what you do at Bryant.
Sounds good. Well, thank you very much for inviting me for this. I was really excited, actually. So I was born in China, 1987. I came US when I was 19. I watched so many Hollywood movies. I thought America was awesome and I wanted to come. Then I came, I went to Iowa Wesleyan University. Then I did a mathematics and my bachelor degree. I was always a number guy and loved play with numbers. I was pretty good at it. And until one time, and I heard about this actuarial science. And someone told me, hey, if you're good with numbers and you have good communication, love to work with people and want to solve real life question, real life problem, you can consider to be an actuary. Then I started, I got my master's degree in statistics. Then I did my PhD at the University of Connecticut in actuarial science. So actuarial science is some sort of combination of finance, statistics, computer science together to help to manage risk or help insurance industry, especially manage risk. And I'm doing that. I'm a credentialed actuary. I'm an associate of Casualty Actuarial Society. And I came to Bryant 2017. This will be my fifth year. I'm currently assistant professor in math department, where I teach mainly actuarial science classes. I'm also a coordinator for actuarial science program here at Bryant.
Okay. Didn't even know we had one of those. I mean, I only started here in November, so I'm still learning everything there is to learn about Bryant.
Okay. Well, for those who are listening, let me do a little bit marketing.
Okay.
Our actuarial science program has been here for decades. We have very successful actuaries graduated from Bryant. We have a large group of alumni in this area that our students, when they graduate, they have lots of connections to help them find a job. And we have advanced program curriculum-wise, help our students to know the material, pass actuarial exam and case competition, and help lead our students to do case competition and help our students to be successful actuaries. So if anyone interested, feel free to contact me. I'm really happy to talk to anyone.
Good job marketing. Hopefully this will help get some people into the department.
Yeah.
So our first question, or second question really, but in your most recent research, it involved financial planning for people with health impairments or comorbidities. And so we were just wondering sort of where your interest in that type of research developed. It seems very specific to actuarial science.
Sure. So one, within actuarial science, there are more than one directions. There are property and the casualty actuaries, which are those people help companies to deal with homeowner insurance, automobile insurance, workers' compensation. There is also other types of actuary. I'm a PNC actuary, but I also work with some other area, like life insurance, mm-hmm. like pension, retirement management. And so one basic training for all the actuaries are we want to learn how to work with what's called a mortality table. So we want to know expectedly when people are dying, then are they going to die sooner or later? Because that impacts people's financial planning. Because if someone who is going to live a long time, you don't want to spend all your money.
Right.
For someone who is live relatively shorter, you kind of want to manage your money in a different way. And also from a insurance perspective or even government perspective, how to manage a large pool of people is actually a lot of numbers involved. And what we are, because I have a lot of training with this mortality related types of study, so we're thinking maybe we can push this instead of a more general way with all population. I think there's there are so many science out there, like we could do more tailored, more specific types of research for those people who are, say, more vulnerable. So for example, someone who have health impairment, what if they have certain types of disease? Can we help them to better manage their finance? For someone who have some sort of comorbidity and different types of comorbidity, then is there kind of finance related topic that we can help to promote or can help to educate? That's why we start getting into this.
So along those lines, in your article, Financial Protection Strategy for Families That Have a Child with Down Syndrome, you discuss different annuities parents could use to help their children financially after the parent's death. In that article, you also mentioned that children with Down syndrome have a longer life expectancy than previous years. So can you explain how that longer life expectancy is affecting financial planning for their parents?
Sure. So the first start with what is annuity? For those of you who are not familiar with this, annuity is something you give a chunk of money, then you will receive a stream of money. Something, a typical application is like a pension. By the time people retire, they saved $1 million. Then they give to some organization they manage, they will receive $5,000 a month. That is some sort of annuity pattern. So we want to, this is a particular product we are evaluating to see what happened to a family with Down syndrome. This is actually a project, research project I worked with for a company. They're thinking to create a product like this to target this particular market. The reason they start thinking about this is Down syndrome is a particular disease. People may have showed symptom, but they are actually health-wise can live a long time. Mm-hmm. And their parents a lot of time worry about their kids are whether they can independently live by themselves. Mm-hmm. So when family have a kids with Down syndrome and they live mm-hmm. a long time, and if the parent deceased before the kids, that leave the parents a lot worry about them, whether they can financially be independent or not. So then this product can come in. Another reason for for this product is we find out that when women are relatively older, mm-hmm. the incidence rate or the likelihood of they have a kid with Down syndrome is actually higher. Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of family who are have a relatively senior older parents and also have younger kids with Down syndrome. That actually another driver that parents could die before their kids. That leaves a big gap, a big gap that a worry or risk for family that can I leave a something for my kids so that if I pass away, then my kids can be taken care of. Then that's how we start investing in this, study this. Then we studied all the life expectancy for the Down syndrome kids, for the Down syndrome, people with Down syndrome, and also the normal mortality with the parents. We put all this together to do some simulation to see what if a father dead, what if when the mother's still alive, then we consider, oh, maybe they will stop paying. Mm-hmm. Maybe when they are both, all three of the people are alive, they're paying some sort of monthly payment. If one of the bread owner, whether for the father or mother, one of them are passed away, they will stop paying. And if both of them are dead before the kids will continue to receive life as a pension until their death. Mm-hmm. So this is some sort of financial management for family. Mm-hmm. And our study more of mortality table, finance vehicles like a discount to the money and the simulation, some statistic, we cannot just speculate in what's going to happen. We have to quantify what's going to happen, how much money we need to charge for these parents, how much benefit we can give this to these kids, then what will be a break even, what will be a profit margin. These are the things we evaluate. Then we turn out to be a paper. That's the research.
And did the company that was looking into this, do you know if they have done anything further with implementing or if they're still sort of researching?
I think, don't quote me on this, I think they're trying to sell this.
Okay.
As package this as a product, then see whether there's a big either company or organization was willing to endorse this and push this to market. Mm-hmm. And I personally feel like this could be a tool that government could utilize. I think nowadays government giving away money directly by writing a check. Mm-hmm. Sometimes writing a check may not be a how is it, more perspective way or long-term planning way to help people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like use some of the well-designed financial product could help families in the long way. Like government can help you keep putting money in, your kids is, instead of every month you receive $100, then more money come in, receive $200. That way is the long-term planning helping people instead of simply writing people a check. Then then you will have some issues that, oh, why I only receive this year? What if I'm not gonna receive next year? So this could be a solution, or could be a perspective we can promote.
So in another article you wrote that's titled Morbidity-Based Pension Benefit Evaluation and Payment Option Comparison, you discuss that pension plans are based off of a unisex mortality, despite this negatively affecting men because they have a shorter life expectancy than women. And so why would a company use a unisex mortality if it negatively affects one of its consumers?
So for mortality is the major tool, or mortality table is a major tool actually used to price things. Like we need to know what are the percentage of people are dying at what year, so that they know how much money to give people, how much they save, how much they give away. This particular question is how do we convert so-called theoretical research into practical usage? Unisex mortality table is, we have to use that, especially when we calculate the pension, because men have a shorter life expectancy. That's actually a fact. Women live longer. So if we're doing what we're doing as a pension, because men live shorter, mathematically, when someone retire, men and women, when they both have $1 million, we should give men more money. Because we're going to give money to the people until their death. But now they're going to live shorter. You technically should give them a little bit more, because they're not going to receive less. So they should, every single paycheck should be more. But that caused a social issue. Why you give men more money? They're the same age. They're all, but they're there. So in practice, we have to consider all this, the practical issues, social issues, not just the numbers. It's like actuarial science is not just numbers. It's about converting number into practice. So we have to use, although it does have negative impact, but we still have to use unisex mortality. Okay. But for this particular research, what our concern, our contribution, or the interesting point where we're trying to bring in is this morbidity thing. Because right now, the well-accepted practice of doing calculation about how much people pay for their insurance, how much money they receive, are mainly based on their age and also whether they smoke or not. But with large data nowadays, we're able to collect lots of data. The data is very rich. We actually know more about the people. We know someone who may have diabetes, may have different BMI, they have certain heart disease, they have different types of comorbidities, that all of this actually impact their life expectancy, which directly impact the realization of their insurance, their financial product. If you have a pension, that directly impact how much money you actually going to receive. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be super healthy, you're going to live until 100 years old, then you're going to receive a lot of money from the government. But if you are not healthy, you have certain disease, then you're going to receive less. What will be a best thing? Well, maybe you should cash out all your money. If you're thinking you're going to live a shorter time, you should cash them out. If you're thinking you're going to live a long time, no, I'm going to stay with this pension. I'm going to keep getting the paycheck from government. So this factors do impact people's financial situation. And that's why we think it's worth to give more theoretical, more quantitative results, so that for people, they can benefit from this. For financial advisors, they can benefit from this. So that's the research we're working on.
So when you are like filling out your health insurance and they ask all those questions about, do you smoke? Do you have diabetes? Or, you know, just they ask all those sort of health questions. Are those answers then used in determining a person's life expectancy and used in actuarial science?
Surprisingly, they do.
Okay.
They do. I mean, when you think about it, when you buy an automobile insurance, you put a whole bunch of number in, boom, they give you a dollar amount. They say, we're going to charge you $500 a month. Those are all based on these factors. However, there isn't a universal way to quote unquote lie about the actual, you know, now, first of all, you should not, you should give the true information. Second, those numbers may or may not go against you or in favor of you.
Mm.
Think about for someone who's smoking, insurance is the longer you live, the cheaper the insurance product going to be, because they are going to pay you in 30 years in the future, right? If you're super healthy, if you're going to buy insurance, it's going to be, should be very cheap,
mm-hmm.
because you give me $100, I can invest this $100 for 30 years. My $100 means a lot of money. I can pay you.
Yeah.
But if you are retired, if you're super healthy, annuity wise, it's going to be expensive. So you're going to live a long time. I'm going to keep writing you a check. So even the same information could mean different direction in terms of this product, the price of the product.
Mm-hmm.
So it does get into the consideration. Smoking especially is quite commonly used, and age is, that's something people cannot change. Then there's actually more and more data getting used by the actuaries, like driving record. Did you have a college degree? And where are you driving? Are you driving in New York? Or are you driving in Smithfield? That's a different story. And that's how likely. And what kind of car you're having? Are you having a two-door car or you're having a lousy car? Then people, they drive differently. And then also they may give you a different price. They may not be very specifically, because sometimes the intrusion of your privacy, there could be issues, but these are the information, actually do look at them and trying to give a fair way to price it.
Okay. Different way to think about insurance.
Insurance does provide stability.
Yes.
The purpose of insurance is helping people to not worry about something major, bad thing happen. That's the main purpose of it. It's not like a scheme, the cream, getting the every single penny out of people. That's not the point. The point is to provide stability.
Again, you're making me kind of like insurance. This is weird. So in that same article about the morbidity-based pension benefit, you also talk about taxes being one of the factors that affect an individual's choice regarding their pension distribution. And so if you could just explain how taxes affect a person's decisions.
So there are multiple perspectives of how tax affect. Number one, in the United States, different states have different tax mechanism. Florida, they have some sort of no income tax or something.
Mm-hmm. Some states have that.
Some people, you see that when they retire, they move to Florida. They're going to live there for exactly 181 days there to keep their residency. Then they go anywhere else. Then that's the one consideration. Another one is how much tax you are being taxed is also based on, do you get your money as a lump sum? Or you're getting like a paycheck by paycheck. If you're going to get your $1 million at one time, that's a big, really high tax bracket. If you're getting your money like one paycheck, like $3,000 a month, that may be a low tax bracket. And also now you think related to what we did before. Well, someone do want to get their money out because they are going to jump the parachute. I mean, jump off the plane, practice that. They think their life is at risk. They have different lifestyle. So the consideration here is we want to provide a better understanding of how much impact this could be.
Mm-hmm.
If lump sum versus not lump sum, moving to one state to another state, is that like a 50% difference or is it a 5% difference? That could be different. And the whole theme for some of my for this aspect of my research is financial planning,
mm-hmm.
with consideration of health, consideration of special needs, consideration of tax, all that related to people's, they will make a decision do based on this kind of thing. Anything they based on when they make a decision of how do they manage their money are the interests of our research. And the tool we have are more statistical tool, finance pricing tool, calculate them and figure out, quantify them. But if you're asking me about a tax, so the two aspects is where, how is it being taxed? And in terms of location and also in terms of the quantity of money.
Thank you for talking to us today, making what you do and making actuarial science a little more understandable, because just reading the articles, I was kind of like, oh, I kind of get what he's saying, but I'm not entirely sure. But actually speaking to you, it's much more understandable and much more like, oh yeah, I see the point you're making. So
great. Thank you.
Thank you for just giving me some new knowledge.
I think this helped me to promote my paper.
Yes, it is really, it was really interesting to read, especially the first article about the families with the children with Down syndrome, and just because I don't think we do think about that kind of thing unless you're in that situation. And so that you're thinking about solutions for people is nice and really helpful at the same time. So it's good to know that people are doing that work. It's good to know that you'll be continuing to do this type of research and trying to help people with their financial planning, because I think that is something that people feel lost about a lot of the time.
So this is wonderful. Thank you for giving me a chance to explain some of the really hard to read kind of paper to people, really explain what we're trying to do. I think academic journals sometimes tend to be a little difficult to read because the goal is not trying to get people's interest. The goal is more of to provide more precise information. So if anyone is trying to use this as a manual, they know they're able to reach to a certain table to get some quantification. And if I would write some paper to publish to get people's interest, I would write a little differently. And while I do plan to continue this type of research. Another one I'm currently doing is for people with kidney disease.
Ooh.
That when they have different stage of kidney disease and progressing, then when they are on dialysis, they have different financial need. When they are on transplantation, they are on different needs. We have students doing independent study with me, collecting data and translate into dollar amount and creating some financial product, evaluate them. A little bit more promotion for Bryant. And we do encourage a lot of interdisciplinary research. For the one I'm just talking about, the kidney disease one, it does require us to examine lots of medical kind of paper. And this type of research, I think, is meaningful because some of the doctors, they are expert in the area, but they may not know lots of mathematical tool. And some of the finance people, they may not know lots of the other area. So putting this together, that's actually what we are really promoting at Bryant. We give students opportunity, whatever they study, we're trying to give them a chance, provide them expertise, connect different departments, and do research together. And we do have this student scholar research model that we are promoting to help our students doing research and help them to publish a paper to contribute. That's another one I'm working on, is trying to systematically putting all different types of financial planning topic together as a book. And as a pension management for, especially for a practitioner or financial advisor, they can go to here when they see a client with special needs, we could have some sort of manual to say, hey, this could give you some more insight to help people.
Well, we will definitely keep our eyes out for both of those to gain more information about financial planning and let people know that it can be done.
Well, thank you very much. For anyone who's listening, interested at Bryant, and feel free to reach out.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in for Bryant's Faculty Spotlight. This production was made possible through the Krupp Library's Collection Management and Digital Services team. In each episode, we explore faculty projects, publications, and personalities. Follow to keep track of the work that inspires us to excel.